I'd like for you to turn to two different places in that of the Word of God. The first place being Malachi chapter 3, the next place being Jeremiah chapter 6. A lot of this is going to seem peculiar when we get into it, because even the thoughts going to sound peculiar with the reading and the text of that of God's Word, because it don't seem like none of them even fits with one another. But just be patient in that of the Lord, and God will make a way. Amen. God will make a way where there is no way, and I thank God for that. I want to remind you that starting this week, Thursday night at 6:30, we're going to be starting revival here. Brother Tony Phillips will be holding it, and it'll go through Sunday night. And any guns going to come, you're welcome to come. Be a part of it, make yourself welcome, and they're going to be finishing their church service Sunday night, and then next Sunday night, or this following Sunday night, will be the last Sunday night of our church service here at the church in the evening time until come spring again. So we won't even be having church tonight. But I encourage you, if you want to go someplace else to church, you feel free to do so. The Bible says in the reading of that of God's Word in Malachi chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's stove. He shall sit as a refiner and purify of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and plunge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judea and Jerusalem be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old and as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the scorner and against the adulterer and against the swearers and against those that are oppressed and the hirelings of his wages and the widows and the fatherless and they that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, ye are consumed. Even from the days of your father ye are gone away in my ordinance, and ye have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." Now listen to this. It says, "But ye say, wherein shall we return?" Go to Jeremiah chapter 6, if you will, just for a minute. Chapter 6 and 16. He said, "Where shall we return?" Jeremiah is fixing to give that answer. Yeah. "And how they shall return unto that of the Lord." And God has laid upon Jeremiah's heart to speak unto the people. And he makes this statement in verse 16. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, and see and ask for the old pathway. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." And I want to kind of build just a little bit. The very first sentence of Malachi Bible we read is more or less dealing with the prophecy of the coming of that of the Messiah, along with that of John the Baptist, him being the forerunner to bring forth and to usher in and to be able to announce that of our Lord and Savior, being that of Jesus Christ. And then you get down and it begins to talk about that of the refinery's fire. And a refiner is someone back in the days of old, they were three metals known as unto them as precious metals. And it was that of silver, copper, and gold. And a man that took and melted these things down and separated them from the ores and all of that of the mineral, he was the finer. And whenever he would take and refine something of these three metals, he would take and he would melt them down till they began to boil just a little. And then he would take and scrape all the sedatives from the top. And after he get all of that cleaned off, he'd turn it up a little bit higher. And then he would go through this process again till it come to a boil, and again begin to scrape off of that of the sedatives that was holding that material and keeping it from being pure. And after he did this, he would go through this process seven times, and each time it would become to that of a hotter bowl. And then after this, and the finished product was where they could look into that, whether it being that of aluminum, copper, or that of silver or gold, until they seen the purest of the purest reflection of them looking back at themselves. Amen. That's what God is to us. He is unto us as that of a refiner. And each day he's refining us to get just a little closer to him, to make us just a little bit more like him. But the Word of God says to strive to be perfect even as he is perfect. My friend, this fleshly body can never be perfect in that of the sight of God. The Bible says that our own righteousness is nothing more than filthy rags. He also said that there's none good, no, not one. Amen. I don't care how high and mighty they think they are. They're no better than anyone else. Amen. They're all the same in the eyes of that of the Lord. Just for a minute, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come unto thee this prayer, dear Heavenly Father. We pray that you help me to get self out of the way, dear God. Lord, that I would not be a hindrance, but a help unto that of thy word. Lord, to use this earthling vessel, dear God. Lord, and anoint these lips, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, that it may come forth, dear Heavenly Father, that which you need from your people today. That it may be a help, a comfort to them in their life. And not only that, but under that of their families, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, for all of these prayers, we most humbly pray. Amen and amen. What we see in Micah chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible said, even from the days of your father, ye have gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. It said, return unto me, and I will return unto you. And then it said, and thus saith the Lord of hosts, but ye say, wherein shall we return? I want you to think about this just for a little while. Getting on the right road, amen. I realize this is homecoming. It's the day that we bring back remembrance of times gone by. I remember today, as we look back at my homecoming, that's set abroad throughout that of the family. And each year that one comes around, someone's missing the next year, amen. Someone's not there that was there before, the year before. My friend, as we get into that of the Word of God, we begin to study into that of the Word of God and see what that of Micah is looking into. It said, but ye said, wherein shall we return? Paul said in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, what he was to you yesterday, he'll be that to you tomorrow, amen. It says that he changes not, that he's the same from the beginning until the end. He is that of the Alpha and Omega, of my friend in the days of life of our men. They've gone astray on every side. They so journeyed into this and into that, searching something out that may be a little bit better, or make it a little better for that of the Lord's way. My friend, you cannot improve perfection. He is a perfected God. Amen. God will not back up and apologize for the things of which he has recorded from yesterday's gone by. For he'll stand firm today. The Bible said forever is his word settled in heaven. I'm glad for that today. Man will go through life and they'll make a decision early on what they want to be. A lot of times they'll go and work about 8 or 9 years toward that. And before you know it, they turned around and chose another direction. A man once told me this. He said, if a man spends half of his life going in one way and doing it one way. And then all of a sudden he changes and starts going it another way. They either want or two things take place. In other words, he the first time, while he spent all of these years doing it one way and then doing it another way, either one or two things happen. He either realized that he had it wrong all them years, and therefore he needs to make an apology to someone, amen. Or the other thing, he could have had it right all these years, and then decided to go another road. And if so, he really needs to apologize to someone. Therefore, my friend, the Word of God is not going to change the sooner to fit my life. It'll fit you through and by the Word of God. Or my friend, it won't fit. It's that plain and simple we find out that Jeremiah said, over there to search out the old pathway and walk therein. My friend, we need to get back to the ways of God. Look where this nation is today. My friend, it's not there because of God. I can assure you that. It's there because man decided to do it their way. And maybe try a different way. And it may work out just a little bit better. But they go around talking about how man in this country needs to get to the point that we can coexist. But I'll tell you something this morning. I don't coexist. I exist because of God, amen. He's the reason I exist today. Not because of what the legislators may say. He's the reason I stand today. The Bible says perfect love casts us out fear. There may be a day that I'll be taken up. I'll pour that in the sin of God and go into that of jail. My friend, it's coming. It's already about us. They're already being put in prison. But I don't know a better way, brother, or a better place, brother Ray, to go in and preach the Word of God in that than that of a prison. My friend, maybe we see revival break out in the jailhouse and the prison doors would swing wide and they'd swing open just like it did the day of Paul and Silas. Whenever the great deep slept fell upon the guards there, and there was a great shaking, and the prison bars fell apart. My friend, it's all silent. They walked out that day, but they walked out a little bit different than they walked in. For the day that they walked out, they had planted one extra jewel in their family, man. For the Philippian jailer was led to that of God. A man that tried to take his own life, but by the hand of that of Paul, he said, stay thy sword. And therefore he spared his life, and he led him to the Lord. My friend, the Bible said today that there are two ways, and we need to realize that they have gone away. They've gone away to the wrong way. Proverbs 12 and 28 states, in the way of the righteousness is life. And the Bible said, and in that pathway thereof, it's no death. I'm glad. My friend, some 30 some odd years ago, I decided that I'd rather go ahead and die out. Into this world, I've done and died. My friend, the death that won't in this body, I cannot touch this soul. It will not spend that eternal death throughout generations to come. For I have then taken that step through that of the way of God. And I've decided to die out to the world that I may have life and have it more abundantly. We're living in a time, my friend, where this world is and everything's coming upon us. And people think every day is just like the day before. But we need to wake up and see, my friend, how the foundation of this country is being shaken by the government and the rulers of this world. My friend, it's not going to get any better. I hate to say that, but I'm just telling you the truth. The Bible says for His word, it shall be fulfilled. And I cannot find no words in the Word of God when these days that are now upon us will get any better. My friend, they're going to get worse. And it's going to be harder and harder to find a place to come to that of the Lord. Why? Because the old pathway is trying to be shoved out of the way. But the broad way, my friend, is getting fuller and fuller. You know, I never read no words in the Word of God. Where the Word of God said that heaven had to get any bigger. But it that hell has to enlarge its borders. And I friend, it will grow and bigger and bigger every day. Others falling off into this place left and right. And I friend, this is nothing more than a holding place. For them awaiting under that of the great white throne here, a judgment seat of God. That will one day rise up before them, and one by one they'll stand before God. And the Bible says that they'll come when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. My friend, a confession day, my friend, one day after a while, you can be sure it's on its way. Amen. Block it or not, he's coming again. My friend, and it's a lot shorter, it's a lot closer than any of us think. My friend, it's here upon us. My friend, the word of God, the prophecies of God's word has never failed. My friend, they've never gone blind. My friend, they've never laid void. Some people need to look back at that of the four harvest moons, the blood moons that have just went past. The Bible said that the moon will be turned to blood. They need to look back and research that just a little bit early. And then you had that a lunar eclipse. That eclipse was for that of the Gentile people. All of these are the harvest moon. That's for that of those of the Jewish people, the chosen ones. And my friend, we've seen all of these just come to pass in the last couple of years, fulfilling the prophecy of that of Job. It said in the last days, how God shall pour his spirit out upon all flesh. It said, your sons and your daughters, they shall prophesy, young men shall see vision. And my friend, in all of these things, he said, the blood moon shall be turned to red of the blood before the coming of that great and terrible day of the Lord. My friend, that's not all. In 1947, one of the greatest prophecies was fulfilled. And God said in the book of Jeremiah, he said, there'll come a day when he'll get his people back again. He said that they would become that of a great nation. In 1948, my friend, we saw, or 47, we saw this prophecy fulfilled. And Israel was reborn. Amen. It was born under that of its own nation. And my friend, now the clock of God, it's ticking down. The midnight hour, my friend, is a lot closer than a lot of people think. I want you to think about this, just being homecoming. How we'll gather up and we'll be with friends and family. Oh, we'll sit around the table and there we'll eat the food of those that are brought to be shared amongst each and every one. Now let's look at heaven. My friend, you know what God's heart's desire is for you. It's not only for you to be saved, it's for you and your household, amen. How would it be to be sitting around that of the master's table on the homecoming day, being served by that of none only than Christ himself? And you look around, my friend, thank God we'll not know nothing about it. But down here we can think about it. We'll look around and those that's going on, my friend, that we thought would be there. There's no place set for them at the table. They went on out into a lost and dying world, into that of the place of a pit of hell, one day to be delivered up and cast into that of eternal death, being that of a lake and fire and brimstone which burneth forever and ever. A place where the worm dieth not, must be tormented day and night. How in the world, if we had a memory of that, could we sit around at that great reunion day and ever be a part of that supper, amen? If God was to roll back the pit of hell, there wouldn't be a one that would be able to sit down knowing of what was left behind and what that we did not do or get them into the house of God. My friend, there's going to be mothers. You listen to me. There's going to be mothers upon that great and terrible day when the Lord shall come and appear again. They're going to be left standing. They're going to look over to see that daughter or that son. And Brother Eric, they're going to realize that they have missed the boat. And they have missed the boat, and not only them, but they will not take time to bring their children up in the ways of the Lord. And therefore they stand there waiting their doom. Come, my friend, fathers, think about it. Oh, I was sitting in the book of Proverbs. My fathers, provoke not your sons to wrath. If they would bring them up in the admiration to that of the Lord. And when they'll get old, they'll not depart. That's not saying, Eric, that they may stray away some.
Right.
But it's saying they got something there.
Amen.
That's going to bring them back. That's the way
that
they were brought up to. My friend, the house of God is a house of prayer. It's a place that we ought to offer up and to be there for those that are not with us. Amen.
Amen.
What a sad thing. It's going to be. People look around, and dead bodies laying everywhere. Airplanes falling out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
The newscast and news media is going to spin a big guard on how the terrorist has attacked. They're going to look for everything in the water and everything else they can to find out what's killed all of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And not have it. I'll tell you why they're going to do that. Because God has sent down unto them a strong delusion, and now they are believing a lie, and they themselves were damned. Amen?
Right.
Have no hope of that eternal heaven, eternal life, along beside that of God. My friend, fathers and mothers, I encourage you today. Lay the Bible still. Lay the rightness. Lay the way that seems right unto man. But the end thereof leads to destruction.
Right.
We find that Jeremiah said in 42:3. It says, the Lord my God showeth the way. He showeth the way wherein we may walk and the things that we may do. It's not about doing it your way anymore. It's not about wanting and receiving what you want in life. It's about receiving the things from God that you need in life. It's about walking in the ways of God. Because God expects us to do His perfect will and divine will and to live that of a repented life, through and by that of a broken heart and contrite spirit. And the Bible said, this worketh repentance, amen. This worketh repentance unto that of the soul. We find that David said, the thou will show me the path of life. I'm glad I've got one that's able to show me a way to go. My friend, that I'll not have to fear death. My friend, one day, after a while, he said, that thou, the fullness, is at the path of life in the presence, is fullness of joy, at the right hand there are a pleasure forevermore. My friend, no suffering, no heartache, the funeral homes will go out of business, the hospital will be no need of, my friend, sickness, have to flee and lay down, for the Bible said in that of heaven, in the midst of that of heaven is that of a tree that bears 12 matters of fruit, and the 12 matters of fruit is for the healing of all nations. Amen. It's the healing for that of God's people. A place where sickness and death will never enter in. My friend, down here we suffer and we hurt and we have pains along the way. But up there, we'll not even know what a pain's all about. Paul said that, said this in this life. While he was here and he suffered more than any man, he was whipped, my friend, about 5 times under that of his life. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned in prison. He was beaten, my friend, about a thief. He was bitten by that of a viper. But my friend, you know what Paul said about all of that? He said that my afflictions down here, he said he counted them as light ones.
Yep.
My friend, he did not even suffer. You read about the suffering of Paul, and you get the thinking, how in the world did the man ever stand it? How could he have ever survived it? My friend, I'll say this. When you look at what Christ did for you on Calvary's Hill, what he went through there in College Hall, he was beaten, unrecognizable without his mother. The flesh was falling off his head and his bones. his bones were exposed. But yet that wasn't enough. They took him and made him carry his own cross up there on Golgotha's hill. My friend already hurting. He is already suffering. But yet they took him and there they laid him down. And they drove the old spikes into that of his hands and feet. And the Bible said there, we see old Moses there. He said that they took a serpent, put it on a pole, and he lifted it up halfway between heaven and hell. And whoever looked upon that shall live. My friend, that day, her Savior was lifted up halfway between heaven and hell. My friend, in order that it may draw all man to him, it's not his will that any man should perish, but that they all could come to repentance.
Yeah.
But you look at whenever they took and crucified him and nailed him up, they took and they leaned the cross forward in order that it stood upright. My friend, he wasn't placed in that hole. Whether that cross was not placed into that hole, it was thrown into that hole, and his old body gave a jar as it hit the bottom of the recoil there. Of the depth of the ending of that hole. Again he felt great torment. Again he felt great pressure.
Yep.
Upon there was his body. He asked for drink and they took an old front sponge and they dipped it in that of vinegar and they placed it under that of his lip. My friend, that vinegar that day, it represented the bitterness of that of sin. Amen.
Yep.
It represented the bitterness of that of sin that he took upon himself for each and every one of us. I pray with the Bible said there came a day while he was on the cross. He only made seven different statements. But my friend, that last statement, that last statement still the case.
He said it is finished.
My friend, it is finished.
Amen.
The Bible said immediately he gave up to the ghost under that of his father. My friend, why did he do all of this in order that he may make a way for me and you? That of a straight way, a straight and narrow way that leads us to life everlasting. My friend, some of David said in 1:19:35, it said, make me to go in the path of thy commandments for therein. Do I delight? David know what it
Amen.
Was like to walk in good time and the pleasures of that of God in a way that he could communicate with God. I've had people come up to me and they said, well, preacher, I've been saved for years. I've never heard the voice of God. My friend, there's something wrong.
Yep.
Because you may not hear it physically or spiritually within that of the ear, but you'll hear it and feel it within that of the heart.
Yep.
And I'll tell you why I say there's something wrong. The Word of God said, my sheep knows me, and my voice they know.
Amen.
My friend, therefore, he's had to talk to you. He's had to communicate with you in some fashion, form, or shape. There had to be a reason, my friend, for you turning around and doing the opposite of what you were fixing to do. For the Holy Spirit, that of God, my friend, came in and he moved upon your heart and he spoke to your heart. And this is why you are where you are today. If you're saved and you're a child of God, this is why that you're receiving, my friend, even the good things in this portion of life. You may say, preacher, it's not so good. That's all that is, stand still and see the salvation of God. There comes a time when we need to sit back and wait upon God. I don't know about you, but sometimes I try to get ahead of God and he needs to set me down. Amen. So I can stand still and see what God has prepared for me and what direction of God would have me to go. Amen. That's what I'm waiting for with that God. The church, we move right along and we find there in Proverbs 4:18, it says that the path of the good is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. I'm glad that I've not got my eyes on the things of this world, but it's letting before me a light that shineth from heaven that I life and walk upon that of the straight and narrow, and know it if I don't falter away for a stay, and that of a backslidden condition, that I will one day take my lifestyle up from that of earth into that of heaven, up forever to be with that of the Lord. Amen. The prophet Isaiah, a great, great, great man of God. God used him mightily in so many ways. Oh, he was standing before the river there as his dear, dear, dear companion. His mentor, Elisha, was taken up before him and had carried apart. And Elijah pleaded with him and said, I'm not leaving you. He said, I'm going to stay right here. He said, I don't care what may come or go, I'm going to be found here. And Elijah said, well, what would you have me to do for you? He said, give me a double portion. And he said, well, if you're standing here when I leave, and you see my mantle fall, and you catch it, then you'll have and receive that of a double portion for the Lord. You know what Elijah did? Elijah performed 7 great miracles of that of God in his lifetime. 7 great miracles. Well, when Elijah caught that mantle, he gave unto Elijah that of a double portion. In his lifetime, he performed how many?
14.
14. Twice as many as what Elijah does.
Double portion.
My friend, I don't know about you. I want to be like Elijah. I want to crave as much of God as I can. In order that I may do more for God.
Amen.
And be able to touch more. And to see more homes saved. And to see more communities come together. More churches come together. And to be able to unite in that of one body. And under that of Christ. That we may have hope. My friend, not only in this life, because I don't want to be a man most miserable, but in the life to come, we may have hope and have it more abundantly in the things of that of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter 7's gospel, in verse 13 and 14, it says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and there is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Church, I'm fixing to close. Won't you listen to me just for a few minutes? As long as we're on this side, we got hope. We got hope. And everybody likes hope. They want as much hope as they can get. But there's something else you got and you can get a hold of that a lot of people don't want to get a hold of. We've got hope. But we also can have something else. And the hope of that of Christ leads to that of life. Never enter unto that of a child of God that's come to know him and take part in his sin and has strived throughout his life to keep his ordinance. But we have hope. I tell you what people, something else can have. A lot of people don't no longer want it. You can also have yourself a burden. For a loved one. For a child. I can't tell you the nights I spent on my knees for this young man, this young girl, J.C. Shane. Prayed night after night. There was never a church service that I was ever in that I did not lift a hand up, requesting or verbally or that of unspoken. Remember my family. Remember my children. Church, don't never get up, but you've got to get a burden. You've got to be burdened for that soul. You know, in the few minutes that I preach, in about 28 minutes, if you know that there's somewhere about 38 people that has died every minute that I have stood behind this pulpit, and for the most majority of them, they've split hell wide open. There's about twice that many being born. But think of the souls that's died since I stood here. Think of the souls that's died since they sung. Think of the souls that died since the congregation was singing. There've been many a one that's no longer with us.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder how many of them would reserve their life and be glad to do it if God was to bring them back where he was and give them another chance.
Have you ever thought about what it'd be like to see your little daughter, your little son, out here in the world? You laying on death's door, getting ready to live out here, and all of a sudden, somehow, God intervenes and He moves upon you and gives your life to the Lord. You know what you think about then? You don't think about yourself more. Your greatest worry, your greatest fear is those children that you do not have before you and that of the house of God.
Amen.
That's your greatest fear. I've always said this, when it comes my day of dying, I do not want to lay there in my final hours, my final days, on my bed, praying for myself. I want to spend that time praying for those loved ones or those neighbors or those that are not yet saved. That's what I want the ending of my days to be like, being able to pray for others instead of myself. So, preacher, you're wasting your time there in the last days praying for them, ain't you? You prayed all this time, what's it accomplished? It's accomplished many prayers and under that altar that God will not forsake them long after I'm gone.
Yep.
When the Bible says in the book of Revelation, He said, for the prayers of the saints are continuously coming up before Him. You leave it here, you ought to carry it on. Way after you're gone in your heart from this life. Church, and we're here today, summers, get a song ready. And I want you to make your way up here an altar call. I'm going to be real plain with you this morning, church. Look at a man that I can't heal you. I can't save you. I don't even know seeing you and what's between you and the Lord. That ain't none of my business. I've seen something else. I don't want to know it because I've got enough problems of my own life to deal with. Amen. Amen. I've got enough problems. I've got enough things in my own life that I need to work more hard on. Church, we all got problems and we take them one step at a time. 29 years, this past September 13th, I announced my calling to preach. You know, there were times that I thought about what's the use. I thought about pulling my hands up, brother, in this place. You know what I thought about? I need to pull my hands up on that. I've already done that. He threw them up and he held my bar and he made me pull down.
I've got
to hold it on today to get through tomorrow. Lord, from this meeting to the end, today's night, I don't know your heart.